Will y'all pray with me? And then I'm going to turn it over to Jackie. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that you have brought us to a place, Lord, that has air conditioning. Lord, help us to give you praise and honor and glory for even the small things. And Lord, as we are here today, I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our minds and our hearts. Lord, if we're not prepared already, I pray during our worship time that you will prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say to us today. Lord, we thank you that we get to hear about the carpenter's trip. We thank you, Lord, that we get to hear from your word. We thank you, Lord, that we get to gather together in this place for the purpose of worshiping you and worshiping your son. And Lord, I just pray that in all that you see, all that you hear, you are pleased. Father, be with us now. Visit with us in this place. We love you, Lord, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to do kind of similar to what I did last week, piggybacked off of Vacation Bible School. I'm going to piggyback off of Carpenters for Christ. One of the things that we didn't mention is when we go on the Carpenters for Christ trip, their verse that they always use, and it'll be a very, very familiar verse, is Proverbs 27:17. You can probably recite it by heart, right? It depends on which translation you remembered it out of. But it's iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. That seems very simple, right? And it can be very simple. But if you think about what that verse means, it can be very deep. So has anybody ever been around a blacksmith? You'll know it immediately if you are, right? Why? Because of you'll hear metal hitting metal, won't you? You'll see sparks flying if you turn around and look at it. If you listen, you'll hear friction and you'll hear pressure being applied. And then there's the heat, right? Especially the heat. If you've ever been next to a blacksmith, that's probably the first thing you recognize is the heat. You know, when a blacksmith is at work, is it quiet? It's very noisy, right? Is it gentle? You ever watch those guys? There's nothing gentle about that, right? Matter of fact, they're heating up metal and getting it real hot, and then they're beating on it with hammers. And just, I mean, it's not a gentle process. If you were a piece of metal that the blacksmith was working on, do you think it would be comfortable? Probably not, right? Probably not at all. But here's the thing. All that stuff is necessary for that blacksmith to get the desired results. You ever thought about that? To get the desired result, all that is necessary. A dull blade. Has anybody ever been cut by something that's dull? Would you rather be cut by something dull or something sharp? Sharp, because it really you don't even feel it till after the fact. But boy, if it's dull, you'll feel it immediately, right? So to get the desired result, all of those extremes are necessary. A dull tool, will it meet its purpose? It might, but you're going to work yourself to death trying to get it to meet its purpose. So a dull edge, a dull tool, will not accomplish what it was set out to do. And that verse, Proverbs 27:17, it teaches us a powerful truth, that we need each other. And if you've heard God's theme this morning, I think that's the theme, is that we need each other. Why? This verse teaches us that concept. The New Testament echoes that principle on many occasions. Now, this is a Proverbs that I've plucked out of chapter 27 of Proverbs, and it's one that all of you know. But if you look at that idea, that concept of being sharpened, you'll find it throughout all of Scripture, but you'll find it in a lot of places in the New Testament. And I titled this morning's message, Living a Sharpened Life. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to always be considered somebody who's sharp. Not so I can do this, but so I can make sure that he gets all the credit, all the glory. So living a sharpened life it ought to not be an option for us. It ought to be something that we desire, something that we want, something that we actively participate. And when you think about the Scripture and what it teaches us, you'll discover that being sharpened, okay, being improved upon is commanded. It's modeled. And I would even go as far as to say of us as Christians, it ought to be expected, or it is expected. After all, who likes a dull Christian? So, what is this verse talking about? The sharpening process. You know, sharpening requires contact. In ancient times, sharpening a blade was more difficult than it is today. We got fancy tools that have been developed. That you, if you need to sharpen a blade and you got one of those fancy new tools, you can do it really, really well. Some people even use lasers to sharpen blades. But in ancient days, they used iron on top of iron. So think about that. Those two pieces of iron, if both were dull and you wanted both of them to come out sharp, the first thing that had to happen is they had to do what? They had to touch each other. They had to be contact. They had to come together. And they had to get very, very close, and they had to interact with each other in that sharpening process. Now, when I think about that and today's verse and how it relates to us, I think about it from a spiritual context. I think about it with our spirituality. Can you grow spiritually isolated by yourself? Now, that blade that needed sharpened, if it just is over there by itself and there's no other means to sharpen that blade, is it ever going to get sharp? It's just going to stay dull, isn't it? Is it going to be able to serve its purpose? No. So the sharpening process requires contact. Growth occurs when God's people are together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And this is another familiar verse. Remember I was talking about coming out of the New Testament? What does it say? And let us consider how to stir what? One another, or stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet what? Together. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, talking about what? The end time, right? We've been living in the last days since Christ ascended. And those words are telling us, hey, we're better together. This trip, the Carpenters for Christ trip, guess what? Those men, they pick on each other. And they razz each other. And I tell everybody, I found out real quick, I don't want to be a plumber. They found out real quick that I didn't need to be the carpenter. Especially the saw guy. Right? But even through all of that, you look at the history of Carpenters for Christ, and you look at what people from all different places accomplish in a week, because they're what? Together. And they work together, and they figure it out together. You cannot be stirred up from a distance, by the way. There's people that say, well, I got my salvation. I don't necessarily have to go to church. That's a true statement. You don't have to, but if you want to be sharpened and you want to be used and be a useful Christian, then you need to be with other Christians. You need to be here. You cannot be stirred up from a distance. You cannot be sharpened from the sidelines. Christianity, by the way, I don't know if you realize this, it is a contact sport. That's why the COVID season did so much damage to the church. Because out of fear, people stopped having contact. But our faith, who we are in Christ, requires us to be together. It's a community endeavor. Now, sharpening also requires friction. You can take those two pieces of metal and lay them together and lay them on top of each other, but if I don't do anything else, are they going to get sharp? You got to start rubbing on them, right? So it requires friction. If you've been in a Baptist church, or I'll say any church, if you hang around long enough, what are you going to find? Friction. Well, friction can sometimes be good. Can sometimes be good. Iron doesn't sharpen iron through little soft touches. It sharpens when it's scraping and grinding, and there's a lot of pressure being applied. Likewise, God will use honest conversation If you've been around me enough, when there's friction, one of the first things I'll tell you is, hey, have you sat down with that other person and had an honest conversation? So God will use honest conversation. He'll use accountability. Partners. He'll use correction. Ooh, boy, we like that one, don't we? And he'll sometimes even use our disagreements to shape us, to mold us, to sharpen us. Paul in Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. Now there's the key. The truth in love. Sometimes we say things harshly versus in love. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That ought to be our approach, y'all. Is I love you enough to be honest with you and tell you this, because I know that it'll help you be more Christ-like, be more like our Savior. Now, sometimes we don't take that approach. We get the truth and we go at it from a different perspective. But if we take what Paul says, speaking the truth in love, then it'll help us get better. Truth often will create friction. Now, think about that for a minute. When somebody comes to you and maybe you out of place, maybe you said something out of place or did something out of place, and they come to you with the truth of that moment, does that create friction? Oh boy, it creates friction, especially if you're one of those that think you didn't do anything wrong or didn't say anything wrong. And then somebody comes and says, you know, well, maybe you ought to look at it differently. Well, there you go. You got some friction happening, right? But here's the thing. Love will turn that friction into something fruitful, something useful. Some of the most important people in your life are the ones who will tell you the truth. They tell you the things that you didn't want to hear, but you most likely needed to hear. Now, hopefully, you have people in your life, or at least one person in your life, that will speak truth to you in those moments. If not, maybe you need to have some deeper thoughts about the people you're with. Sharpening also produces heat. Now, we got friction going. What's going to happen out of that? Heat. When iron sharpens iron, guess what happens? Sparks will fly. And when the sparks start flying, the heat starts going up. Now, I don't need to tell you about heat after the last week we've had. But heat increases. And when sparks are flying and friction's going on and truth in love is taking place, now guess what's going to happen? Everybody's going to be all happy, right? No, everybody's going to get uncomfortable. You're going to be uncomfortable because somebody come to you to point out the truth to you, right? And that makes you uncomfortable. Guess what? It makes that other person uncomfortable too. Because I love Randy to death. But if I've got to go have that type of conversation with him, boy, I'm going to be like, It's just not a comfortable thing. So when this sharpening process, this heat begins to rise, it's not always a comfortable thing. Growth is sometimes uncomfortable, guys. Galatians 6, 1 through 2 teaches that we restore him in a spirit of gentleness and bear one another's burdens. Now, there's a lot more in that verse, and it's on the screen. But if you look at that, restore in gentleness. Bear each other's burdens. Restoration, guess what? Involves the friction. Burden bearing is the heat. And those things work together to sharpen and mold us into being more Christ-like. God sometimes uses discomfort to refine us. What does that mean? That means a brother in Christ will challenge your habits. If it's a habit that's separating you from your Savior or a good relationship with your Savior, and a brother in Christ comes to you, well, guess what? That discomfort in that moment is to try to help you get better. Or maybe it's a sister in Christ who doesn't like your attitude and confronts you on that. Maybe it's the mentor who pushes you to grow. Talk about mentoring the guys, right? What you're doing there is pushing them not to just make different decisions, but you want them to grow. You want them to see that and get better in the process. Or maybe it's a friend who just refuses to let you settle spiritually. And I think that's, Brian was talking about how you and I had to talk. We didn't talk, but you talked about your wife and your friend, and you was complacent and stagnant. And they if they just leave you alone and let you stay there, then they haven't done their job. But we need people in our life that'll help us or refuse to let us get spiritually dull and stay there. Sharpening, by the way, is not meant to be painless. It is meant, though, to be productive. It is meant to force improvement, removing what is no longer useful and allowing what is useful to shine. Because that new sharpened blade, boy, it'll shine, won't it? It'll be pretty. Sharpening, then, has a purpose. No blacksmith sharpens iron for fun. Well, there might be some of them that do it for fun. But most do that type of work because they get to use their hands to make something that is useful or that has a purpose. Do you know this? That God is sharpening you because he intends to use you? Now, that's a truth we ought to hang on to. Is it uncomfortable? Is the heat rising? Is the friction going on? Absolutely. But God is sharpening you. He's doing that process in your life because, as we heard in the story, he has a purpose for you and you're useful and he wants to get that out of you. God recognizes our usefulness and makes sure that we are prepared for the task. That we're prepared for the task. Colossians 3:16, another familiar verse. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I love this, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Teaching, guess what it does? Sharpens the mind. Admonishing sharpens the heart. Truth in love sharpens the heart. Worship sharpens what? The spirit. Spiritual sharpening is preparation for kingdom work. Living a sharpened life means living ready for God's purposes. And everybody in here, and I've heard some of you say it, and I believe most of you would believe it, well, God's got a purpose for me, I just haven't figured it out yet. Well, stop trying to figure it out and let God show you. Let him sharpen you a little bit. Let him get you prepared for what it is that he sees you will be useful in. You will be useful at. Now, who is it that sharpens us? Well, it's God, hopefully. But how does he go about doing that? A blacksmith, he's going to sharpen a blade. Guess what? He's going to heat it up. He's going to do all kinds of stuff. He's going to beat on it. He's going to bang on it, especially if he's making a brand new blade. Right? But at some point in time, when that edge is as close as he can get it, then he's got to get it even further down. He's got to refine it and get it finer. So how does God do that? Well, look around the room. He does it through our godly relationships. Proverbs 27:17 assumes mutual sharpening. Iron sharpens iron. Al, look at Carol and say, you're my iron, baby. Carol, look at Al and say, you're my iron, honey. Iron sharpens iron. It's a mutual thing. It's a mutual thing. Romans 15:14 says, believers, if you look at that whole verse and get to it, it says, are able to instruct one another. Some of you have been in church your whole life. Who are you instructing? Find somebody to pour into. God's taught you something. Well, teach somebody else. I like this children's story. I do. It's teaching the kids, but I think some of y'all are getting something out of it too. It's mutual. It means you need people who will sharpen you. And then you need to also be sharpening others. Every believer is both a blade and a sharpener. Both serve different purposes, but both are very useful. Both are very useful. Sharpening happens in discipleship. Jesus did not disciple the 12 by just giving them a book. Here's your experience in God study, guys. Go home and read it. He didn't give them a book and say, come back and tell me what you learned. And I'm not belittling those things because I love that book study. But Jesus didn't disciple them by just giving them a book, sending them home, and expecting them to learn. No, he walked with them. He demonstrated it to them. He corrected them. And they left him, didn't they? When the heat rose and the friction started, they just left him, didn't they? No, they didn't. Did he challenge them? Yes, he absolutely challenged them. Does Jesus challenge you? I hope so. The Jesus that I love and I follow challenges me every day. Now, I know that lies on me. But he challenges me every day. He challenged those disciples. He encouraged them. He sharpened them. And then along the way, guess what they learned? They learned that he wasn't going to be there at some point in time. And that the things that they had been taught, the things that they had been shown, the things that they had witnessed, they were going to have to be the ones to do what? Take that to somebody else, including each other. So they learned how to sharpen one another. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another, and then what? Pray for one another. Don't take that out of context. What is that saying? That's saying that you're better together. And if somebody confronts you in truth and love and points out a sin in your life, guess what? Confess the sin. Turn it back over to your Savior, right? And then look to that person and say, okay, I've confessed my sin. What are we going to do now? Well, the first thing you ought to do is what? Pray for them. Pray for them. Confession is friction. Prayer is heat. Together they'll sharpen us into holiness. Into holiness. Another place that sharpening happens is right here in the church. A healthy church is not just a place where people gather. Do you know how many people ride by and see our parking lot full, and then I meet them, and of course they've never been to our church, but they say, man, looks like y'all got it going on. The parking lot's full. Well, that parking lot could be full, but be dead as dead as dead and dull as dull as dull in here. Just because people showing up don't mean it's a healthy church. Now, it can be if the people inside are together for the right reason and trying to honor God by sharpening each other. Acts 2:42, y'all know this, and it shows that the early church devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and prayer. That's the environment, guys, where sharpening takes place. And you don't even realize it. It's where sharpening lives will thrive. A church that avoids sharpening becomes a church full of dull believers. Now, y'all all agreed earlier that nobody likes a dull Christian. Y'all did. Just saying. We want to be a church where we're sharp and we're alive and we're serving God and we're serving people and we're fulfilling the useful side of who we are, the purpose that God has for us. Now, how do we respond to what we've heard so far? Okay? Well, are you willing to be sharpened? Did you show up here today wanting somebody to speak truth and love to you? Maybe a little friction, a little heat? Well, no. You know why? Because most Christians want comfort. It feels like the air is turned, or it sounds like the air is turned on, but it doesn't feel comfortable to me. It might be to y'all. But you know, most Christians want comfort. They don't want sharpening. They want affirmation, not accountability. I mean, think about that. They want encouragement and not correction. But you cannot be sharpened if you refuse those things. Are you willing to accept the friction or the heat? Will you ask God this morning for a teachable spirit? Maybe you just need to ask him for a more humble heart, or just simply ask him for the willingness to grow. Living a sharpened life begins with the willingness to be shaped, to be formed, to be molded. The next part of that is you say, well, I got that figured out. I'm pretty good at it. Okay. Yes. It's part of it. If you're willing to be sharpened, that's awesome. But now, are you willing to sharpen somebody else? Iron sharpens iron. Sharpening, by the way, is not criticism. It is not speaking in harshness. It is not lording or having superiority over someone. Sharpening is loving someone enough to help them grow. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build one another up. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So sometimes sharpening is encouragement. Maybe it's something like this. Jeff, don't quit, man. It might be tough, but don't quit. I know this is what God's got for you. Keep going. Keep doing it. Or maybe it's correction. Maybe it's correction. Tim, I don't like your attitude today. You did not talk to Carmen the way your husband should talk to his wife. Don't do that. Figure it out. Could be just guidance. Suzanne, let me show you right here in Scripture what it says. And maybe it'll help you. Maybe it's just accountability. Maybe it's accountability. Maybe it's something like this. Jeremy, I know it's tough, but you ain't got to do this by yourself. I'm here for you. We'll walk through it together. Is that okay? Absolutely. Absolutely. Living a sharpened lives means that we have to help others live one as well. Live one too. And then we have to be intentional. Building sharpened relationships intentionally. Now, I'm not crazy. I know that everybody in here doesn't just get along all the time. We're all different walks of life, all different personalities, da, 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 you name it. So it's not going to happen that we all get along all the time, every time, 24/7. Well, sharpening doesn't happen accidentally. It'll happen intentionally. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, ask yourself, who is sharpening me? Or flip it around. Who am I sharpening? Well, maybe it's that one that you don't always get along with the best. Be intentional in trying to fix that. Be intentional in going to that person and say, you know, something isn't right, but that's just it. It's not right. In the eyes of God, something's not right. What do we need to do to fix it? Can we do it together? Those are things to consider. Well, when you do that, it's an intentional step. Another thing you say is, who is God calling me to invest in? I love it when I hear mentor. That's a great word. But who are you investing in? I love it when these guys get up here and talk about Carpenters for Christ, and they say, man, I go down there and I hadn't seen them in a year, and it's like time had stood still, and we got back together and picked right up where we left off. Every believer, y'all have heard me say this before, needs a Paul. Why do you need a Paul? Paul mentors us. Who outside of Jesus do we talk about a lot from Scripture? Paul. Everybody needs a mentor. And then I said this before. You need a Barnabas. Y'all know who Barnabas is. Barnabas was what? The encourager. One who walks beside you. Do you have somebody in your life that you can pick up the phone and say, man, I'm struggling. Look, can you help me walk through this? And then everybody needs what? A Timothy. Well, if you got a mentor and you got an encourager, but then you don't have somebody that you're taking those things and pouring it into, then you're missing a piece. So we need our Paul, we need our Barnabas, and we need our Timothy. That young Christian, I don't want to say just a young child, but a young Christian that you're pouring into, that you're teaching. Living a sharpened life means living in relationships that refine you while allowing you to simultaneously refine others. So, and I tried to go through this quickly, but sharpening, guess what? It's a noisy process. It's a gritty process. It can be uncomfortable. Sharpening can be intentional, but it's one of God's ways of making us effective, making us better Christ followers, making us better Christians, making us better people. Now, y'all agree nobody wants to be a dull Christian. I want to remind you of that. A dull Christian cannot cut through the darkness. A dull Christian cannot stand against temptation. A dull Christian cannot serve with excellence. A dull Christian cannot fulfill their calling. But a sharpened Christian, one that's been sharpened by the Word, one that's been sharpened by his church or her church family, right? One that's been sharpened by godly relationships, that sharpened Christian becomes a powerfully useful instrument in the hands of God. So today, will you agree to embrace with me the sharpening process? Will you welcome friction? Will you value the relationships that God uses to shape us, to mold us? Will you commit with me to sharpen one another in love, to help each other? Iron sharpens iron, and God uses people to shape people. I'm kind of glad that he don't use iron to sharpen me. But I'm even more thankful and more glad that he'll use some of you guys to help sharpen me. Iron sharpens iron. This is how we learn to live a sharpened life. Will you do that with me together? Will you do that for family members, neighbors, co-workers, other people in our community? Y'all agreed this morning that we need to be together, right? Do you think there's people outside the walls of this church this morning that could benefit from being inside the walls of this church? I think so. I'm going to pray. Did you pick an invitation song? I'm going to pray, and as that song sings, I just want you to think about where you are. You know, are you dull? You sharp? If you're dull, let somebody start sharpening you. If you're sharp, guess what? You need to be sharpening that dull person. Will you consider those things during our time of invitation? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard all day long. Thank you for the theme of today, that, Lord, we need to be together, and when we're together, we're better. But, Lord, it also gives you an opportunity to work on us and to mold us and shape us and sharpen us for the work that you have in store for us. So, Lord, may we receive today's message. May we accept it. May we believe in it. May we leave out of this place to be a light into the world around us. And loving you and loving your Son, Jesus Christ, and loving your Holy Spirit every step of the way. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?